Appliance Discounters is a locally owned company that began with one location in Webster Groves, Missouri in 2009 and has grown to six locations covering Missouri and Illinois. We always offer the lowest price on all appliances for our customers. We carry in-box and out-of-box new appliances at drastically lower prices than any competitor. We purchase our appliances direct and buy the truckload to receive the lowest price from the manufacturers and then pass the savings on to you. That's how we came up with our motto, our savings are your savings. Shop us at theappliancediscounters.com.
Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com.
I go to bed with a prayer that your son make love to me.
Sounds like son.
Strange
yep, it does.
Seems. Someday we'll meet, and you'll cry all of my tears.
It's my brother and his new wife's first dance song.
Was it really? You can't beat this for sheer romance.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are using this now.
Seems like it. It's trendy.
Mm-hmm. It's
and
like
if
the
it's
name
trendy,
Dean.
It's me.
It's like the name Dean.
That's right. It's Ryan Kelly Morning After. This is CBS Sports 105.7 HD2 FM 920 AM inside STL.com live. From the Gateway Buick GMC Studios, those Lou Fest tickets where you can hang out with us in our own private area, private restrooms, televisions, our own bar, the whole deal, those are available on InsideSTL.com right now. Type in the promo code FREEDOTEM, and you're hanging out with us at Lou Fest on September 10th and 11th. Doug, I would imagine Chris Stapleton will hang out with us as well. I would imagine that.
Chris. Just call him. You don't even need
you're
the
right.
last name.
You're right.
We all know who you're talking about. But for the... For the regular listener, there will be a fence between them and us, right?
Right.
Yeah. Barbed wire.
Yeah, but most of our listeners come from old money.
So they might bring their own tin snips to cut through the barbed wire.
That's right. That's right.
I like the phrase tin snips.
Doug, Ryan Kelly makes this show possible, so yeah. Why don't you tell the listeners about him?
Well, you know what else he makes possible, and that's someone's mortgage. They'd say, hey, I like that house right there. I think I'll buy it. Well, do you have a couple hundred thousand to buy? Well, no. What do I do? Well, you get a mortgage. Well, who do I call? You call Ryan Kelly.
Nice.
I think
nice.
We've been through this a few times. Or you've got a mortgage now, but your rate is no good.
Like nine.
Your rate is nine, which wasn't any good like 10 years ago. So maybe you need to get in and refinance. Some rates now, some of them are down to the twos, for crying out loud.
Twos?
Historically,
what?
Twos. Historically low rates. That's why you need to call Ryan Kelly, because he can save you hundreds of dollars a month, sometimes tens of thousands over the course of the loan. So give him a chance to show you what he can do if you need to refi. He was just named the number one mortgage lender for most loans closed in the entire Midwest. So ask yourself this. Why would I want to go anywhere else? Why would I not call the number one loan originator in the Midwest? Well, I don't know. I guess you don't like to save money. If you do like to save money, Ryan Kelly is the guy. He did my refinance. He'd like to do yours as well.
Stop yelling.
So here's a phone number, 314-781-9700, 314-781-9700. He's got a website that will spell out all the things you need to know about this.
Right.
TheHomeLoanExpert.com, The Home Loan Expert, LLC.
And if I may, I would like to thank Ryan Kelly. Last night I was helping Make-A-Wish Missouri with an event with the Cardinals' wives, and I was given the task of trying to make people donate, and so I put Ryan
That's
Kelly.
That's gotta be a tough spot.
Well, they were there for a good cause, Make-A-Wish Missouri. I mean, what they do for the kids is unbelievable. But anyway, so I put Ryan Kelly on the spot as I was trying to drum up some big donations. I called him out, and as he always does, he came through with a very generous donation. He says he likes to give back. He really does. He's always there when you need help with something for charities.
His biggest charitable donation for about 5-6 years has been a sponsorship of this show.
Mm-hmm.
I believe you can write off your sponsorship of this show.
Oh, I would think, because we're down on our luck. And anytime you're down on your luck like we are, and you've got someone who step in and make a contribution, sure, they'll give you a little charity.
Here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After, named after Ryan Kelly, we welcome you to get involved anytime you would like. 314-880-0808. 314-880-0808. You can text in on that number. You can call in on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. And you're also welcome to email in our email today, large two-topping pizza from Truman's in Soulard, the morning after, at InsideSTL.com. Send your emails in. The Plow Padre is charged with finding fun with audio. That's presented by Maggie O'Brien's right there on Market Street. Union Station's next to them. And, Doug, you were wondering if we had the audio of the newscaster chasing down the hot Australian guy after interviewing him.
No, I didn't ask about that. It must have been somebody else.
Yeah, no, here it is. We got it for you.
Okay, hit the lever, Plowsy.
But sharks are no danger, nothing to be afraid of. If you got guys out here surfing, there's nothing that's going to happen. If something does, it's just a random chance.
I love this. What is your name?
James.
I love James. Thank you, James. Thank you in more ways than you know.
Thank you.
What does that mean?
I love that guy. I have nothing else to say. That's James.
Why you letting him go? There you go, Wendy. Go get him. You go get him.
Do it, girl.
Huh. So she dropped the mic and ran after him?
We don't know.
James.
So what would happen if a guy did that? If a guy interviewed a cute girl and then got done with his life?
Couldn't agree with you more.
Started running after her.
The local news, we can talk about men who are attractive, but we can't talk about women. It is one of the great double standards going.
It's just a funny thing. She really likes him. Go get him.
But it was a very attractive guy, by the way, Doug.
Okay. But it was somehow okay and even funny that she...
Thank you for letting Doug know that,
she stopped what she was doing to run after.
Go back and watch the video.
If a guy
so, Plowhawk, you would say this guy was a 10.
Oh, absolutely a 10. I'm not afraid. I'm heterosexual male. I'm not afraid to say it. So she ran after him, and good for her.
How is said girl? And I really don't know, so I might be making this awkward.
Just cute as a button.
All right. So everything's...
Everything's A-okay,
good.
Bud.
Okay, I don't know. Sometimes things start fast and then they end fast. And I hadn't... I saw that on my Facebook timeline.
Good for you.
Needed a companion at the house. It's, like I said, the crate training becoming an issue with the sleep schedule, but... I'll work on it.
His name is Bart, after Bart Starr.
That's right.
A cute puppy. Good for you. I love that.
And as you know, I think Bart in the right system could still be a productive quarterback.
He could barely stand up at Brett Favre's number retirement ceremony. But in the right system, the Plow Padre believes he could run a hell of a quarterback.
Well, is he? Late 40s at this point, isn't he?
Give or take. Hey, look who's on the Appliances Counter phone lines.
Ah.
The cat, it's your... broadcast partner, James Patrick Edmonds. Morning, Jim.
Good morning. How's it going?
What's going on, man? How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I am wonderful. You are off to travel today, are you not?
I am traveling actually tomorrow morning now, but doing some last-minute adjustments with the kids and getting ready to go on a little vacation.
Sweet. And I would imagine this weekend had to be pretty fun to see a lot of guys you haven't seen in a while from that world championship team.
Yeah, it was pretty fun. I had to work most of it, which was kind of a bad and good situation, but it was neat. It was good for – I think it's great when – like, I think a lot of guys don't get to understand that what the city's all about in the long run. You know, obviously when you're playing, it's pretty special, but it continues to stay special throughout – you know, time, and I get to see it every day, and I think that, you know, it's nice for those guys to come back and kind of see what, you know, how blessed we are to be able to come back anytime you want and the way they treat you forever.
That Wainwright start, pitches a shutout, finish the game with Yachty behind the plate, then points up to the 06 team. Really one of those moments that will stay with you for a long time, and that's from a fan perspective. I couldn't imagine what it's like for you to have seen that.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. It's it's weird when you're watching those games like that, and I remember sitting there watching Michael Wacha's, I think it was his first start when he had that no-hitter going, and you're just sitting there hoping that nothing goes wrong, and it's such a great storyline for that night, and it couldn't have happened to a better person and couldn't be better timing, but it was pretty special. I'm sure everyone was thrilled and just to go out there and be able to watch that, and I got to call the game. It was just a great game, and it was fun to watch, and happy for Adam to be able to put on a show like that in front of those guys.
And another great moment that I got to sit and enjoy, Scott Rowland came into the booth with you and Danny Mac, and I thought he was great, and I thought you guys did a great job just talking it over with him.
Yeah, I mean, he's a character. You know, it's a shame that people don't really get to see his personality. Or didn't get to see his personality when he played. And he was one of those guys that was just so much fun to be around. And it's pretty comical because he's so dry and just so such has so much to offer for everyone on and off the field. And it was really neat to talk to him. And it's, he's one of those guys that you could talk to for, you know, we could have done four or five innings with him, and it would have been good the whole time.
I bet some of those players who no doubt get tired of all the attention when they're active players with the media hounding them all the time and the fans in their face all the time, a few years go by and then they come back and get recognized again. I bet they like the pat on the back at that point, don't they?
Yeah, I think it's one of those things that you just take for granted during the course of your career. And it's one of those things that is kind of, you know, difficult, and you do kind of, I think you get a little spoiled running and hiding from everyone and just trying to go to the locker room and hide from the world, and you don't realize how important the media is, and you know media is just doing their job too and trying to bring a story to the fans. And I think it gets lost in when you're playing, and I think, yeah, when you leave for a while and come back, it's a little bit easier to do, and you kind of maybe appreciate it a little bit more. And I think that hopefully some guys will look back and realize that, you know, and it's, especially with the guys nowadays, look back and see what happens and, you know, kind of realize that it could have been better or could have been more available.
Wainwright told me that he hadn't seen half of those guys, probably, as he said, since 2006. But everything you guys went through and what you accomplished creates pretty much a lifelong bond that will always be there. What's that like to have gone through that with a bunch of guys and you don't see them, then you're thrown back together for an event like we saw this weekend?
Yeah, I kind of felt the same way. You know, it's one of those things that you take it for granted because it is so special and you are so close with them. And you're right. I mean, I didn't see a lot of those guys for a long time. It's funny. You see guys here and there. And I've seen David Eckstein a few times. And you see him a few, three, four times a year. And it's just like you're used to seeing him every day. So it doesn't even seem real. But I haven't seen Aaron Miles in a while. And Spezia only once. And a couple of those guys. And Weaver, I haven't seen him since probably – it's been about 5 or 6 years at least. So, yeah, it was nice. But it's funny. It gets picked back up right where it's left off. And it's pretty comical to see everyone just kind of fall right back into place.
Jim Edmonds with us on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. Now, Roland and Tony had an embrace. I don't know if that was just, okay, I got to do it, or have the wounds healed a bit?
Well, I don't think that, you know, anything can stay with you forever. I think that over the course of time, everything heals. Obviously, in the heat of the battle is where most of that stuff comes from. And the ego of Scott Rolen and the ego of Tony La Russa, when Tony's got to do his job and Scott's trying to do his job. And like he said, I think Scott said before that, yeah, he was hurt and probably wasn't the best man for the team, but or for the time, but he was going to go out there and play no matter what until he was basically dead. So that's the kind of the way you have to play the game. And it's always going to be a little bit of a battle between your manager and the players that are that strong with personalities, and especially just like having a father-son relationship. I mean, you know, if you have kids, eventually you're going to have to scold them, and they're going to talk back the older they get. So it just happens, and time passes, and everything gets kind of taken care of. So I'm sure everything's fine.
Yeah, time does heal all wounds. At least that's what they say. But when Roland was with Cincinnati, I'd go and talk to him, and he would bring up Tony all the time. So that was a wound that didn't close quickly for him anyway.
Well, I think it's you know, it's bitter. It's a bitter situation. And, you know, any time that you, like I said, any time that you're that type of a player, caliber player that he was, and, I mean, it went that way for me, too. I wasn't mad at Tony. I was just mad at the situation. And, you know, the situation for me is, in 2007, coming off that injury, I didn't really have a chance to get my legs underneath me, and I just wanted to go out there and play. And I wasn't the best player that I could be, and I needed another half of a year to get ready. And I was kind of pissed off, too, because I wanted to play every day. And that's the thing you do. You're a warrior. You go out there, you play every day, no matter what, and you take your lumps. And I think Scott just, that kind of got in the way, and that happened. So, you know, we got to move on and do the best we can with it. And I think it stings a little bit for a while. And I know he hasn't said anything to me for a while, so hopefully that's all water under the bridge.
Jim Edmonds with us here on the program. Because the 06 team came from seemingly nowhere to win the World Series, that is usually utilized, along with what the 2011 team did, as an example of, see, you never give up, even though it might have been a 1% or 2% chance going into the final week or two of September. So do you see similarities between the 2016 Cardinals and the 2006 Cardinals, Jim?
You know what? I don't ever look at that kind of deal. I just kind of, you can use the comparisons, I think, and far as the records go and far as the situation goes, that it is never really too late. We've seen a lot of wild card teams come on strong and get into the playoffs, and you see that in every sport. And we all know it gets beat to death. That the team that's hot at the end ends up winning. And so there's always hope. I think this team's underachieving. I think that it's not that easy to win every year. I think that, you know, you never count them out. And it's funny, just talking to Mike Matheny and a couple of the guys down there and, you know, the coaching staff, and, you know, you talk to them and they say, I don't know really what people want me to do. I can't really go in there and say try harder, because it just isn't that easy. I mean, they're trying and they're playing hard. It's just one of those things. They're not, you know, not getting timely hitting, or they're not getting the defense when they need it. And right when that kind of goes together, the pitching will struggle for a week or two. So that's what makes this game so special. And kind of got to deal with the good and the bad, and hopefully, you know, over time in the next month they can kind of turn it around, and that wild card's right there, so that's something to look forward to.
At least the starting pitching's in pretty good shape. If there's anything that would give you hope that it's possible to go on a run and reel off 6 or 7 wins in a row, it would be that.
Yeah, I mean, knock on wood, starting pitching's been good. They're healthy, that's what's important. You got a couple kids in the minor leagues that can supply some, you know, support if needed. And you know, I think it's a pretty solid team. I just don't think they're getting all of the pieces put together in the same day. And you can just see little things break down once in a while. Yesterday, they had a guy picked off of first base, and he ended up going to third, and he could have been thrown out at third and just end up scoring. Little things like that, and just little details kind of stack up against you when you're struggling. And it seems like, you know, those are the days that you end up losing a game, or it piles up and you give up more runs than you need, and it's just tough to keep coming back from that. But I think this is a pretty good team, and I think I wouldn't count them out.
So you're headed out. Can we tell the audience where you're going, or is this classified?
It's classified. You know, I don't think most people know where Idaho is anyway, so it's...
no, potatoes.
Not in our audience.
We know
that. We have no idea where the hell it is.
Yeah, so, yeah, just far enough away from the heat and far enough away from Southern California to be comfortable. That's about it.
And far enough away from Danny Mac, too. You spent a few days with him.
Oh, is that the reason for the trip?
Yeah, a full 3 days with Danny Mac was all I can handle, and I had to move on. But, no, I love Danny. It's funny. It's... like I said, you take it for granted when you're playing, and then you get to see the other side of the world. And it's been a pleasure to be able to do the things that I've been able to do in a short period of time with the media. And Danny, I didn't really realize what kind of a talent he was. And it's pretty cool. Like, it really is. I thought Pat Parris was pretty special. Danny's just that much more of a guy that has just perfected his craft. And it's funny, I'll blink and he'll just run off 2 or 3 sentences about something that no one else would even know, and it kind of catches me by surprise sometimes, but it's really fun to learn a lot from him.
Shot at Pat Parris.
Yeah, seemed like it.
You took a great compliment to Dan McLaughlin and spun it into a shot at Pat
Parris. No, I thought Pat Parris.
Oh, no, it's the
so
cat doing
much.
The cat thing.
Yeah, the cat's he's a jerk. I know.
Put that off. Get it in the system now.
Pat Parris taught me a lot, and I was actually really – I was one of the guys that was really – I mean, I was sad that he was leaving, and I was a little really shocked. And, you know, he's moving on, and I was like – I felt like, oh, man, there goes my – teacher, you know, like he's the guy that helped me, and he's the guy I lean on when I needed help. But Danny's been doing such a great job, and I'm kind of like doing the games a lot and want to hopefully migrate into that a little bit more versus doing the pre and post game, because the games are so much more fun. So
a lot of people, man, I'm telling you, and I've texted you this before, but I don't know how many times, and the cat, I mean, I know you know, and it's awkward because, you know, it's you're working there and everything, but I mean, I get so many unsolicited, boy, Edmonds is really good on those games.
He's a natural.
I don't know how many times I've seen that or been emailed that or texted
the
or whatever.
The things, and this, in all sincerity, the stuff you see and the stuff you saw as a player, to me, sometimes is mind-boggling. The little things you were able to pick up on and now share in the broadcast, I think you're doing a great job too, Jimmy.
Well, I appreciate it. I mean, I think that for me right now, I have a lot of luck because it's a fresh voice. I think that, you know, change is always good as far as a lot of people. It's really funny. People don't think about it, but, you know, every game's on TV, and the same guys are talking all the time. And even if you just throw somebody in there once in a while, that has a a fresh voice, even if they're not good. It's just something different, I think. And we watch the games. I've been watching them for 10 years, and it's something different. And I'm just now, hopefully, once that newness wears off for people, that I can keep improving and get a little bit better, and keep giving some insight in a different angle. I love it. I think it's fun. I love listening to Al and Ricky and those guys, and I just hopefully that I'm trying to do something a little bit different and just a little bit, just different style, and hopefully it works.
See, I never thought you would want to, like, do a bunch of games, you know? I just didn't think you'd want to do it, just because you don't really need to, and therefore I didn't think you would do it, but it's great to hear that you want to do even more.
You know, it actually is kind of fun to be around the ballpark once in a while. It's fun to try something new. I think that's the biggest thing for me is I wouldn't say that I'm conquering something, but I think conquering a new challenge is always entertaining. It's always fun. It's something to look forward to. It's kind of like I look at it like golf. It's like it's fun to go out and play. You're never going to perfect it, but you got to keep on trying. So that's kind of my issue right now is I'm just going to try and go out there and improve. And if I can't get better and it's not fun, then I'll walk away from it. And if people don't like it, I'll give up and do something else. But I'm enjoying it right now, and I enjoy the challenge, and I think that's part of it.
And you were right about Pat Parris. He's missed, but working with Danny Mac, he really is. I think he's underappreciated. I think he's one of the best in the business.
You know, it's funny you say that. I think that that's part of it. Like, he is underappreciated. I think that as far as when I played, you kind of take it for granted, and you don't realize that those guys are doing their job. And I think as players, everyone thinks that they're just picking on you when they're calling the game. But they're really calling the game, and there's only a couple of ways you can do it, and the game pretty much speaks for itself. And really not trying to call off the players. You're just trying to state the obvious. And I think players' feelings get hurt. So in that way, I hope they realize how good Danny is. And it could be a lot worse, and he's doing a great job. And it's really awesome to be on this side of it to watch it.
You mentioned playing golf. Is that something you're going to be doing over the next few weeks?
Yeah, I'm going to try and get some. I'm going to try and improve again. I got a little frustrated and with the kids and scheduling. I haven't been able to play a lot. So I'm going to go up to Idaho for about 2.5 weeks and play some golf practice, playing a member guest up there with a bunch of friends, and just try to enjoy the next couple weeks because I work a lot in August and I have a lot of traveling.
Where is your game at right now?
I don't know. I went up there for 2 weeks with the kids a couple weeks ago, and I ended up just being able to hit some balls in the driving range and play about maybe a little bit more than 18 holes, but not all at the same time because of the kids. And, you know, like my daughter wants to try and learn how to play, and my son wants to play. So you end up – golf ends up taking a back seat when the kids are around. So that's fine with me. I really – don't really care. I'm not too competitive with it, but it is something I want to try and get better at.
You play left-handed?
No, right-handed. Oh,
how about really? That, Doug? Think about that.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but
I would have thought you could hit the ball 400 yards left-handed.
Yeah, no, and I don't hit the ball that far right-handed. I'm trying to learn how to hit it down the middle and just play the game the way it's supposed to be played. So it's a little tougher when you know hit the ball 300 yards, but I don't think a whole lot of people do, so I'm happy with my game. I just want to get a little better.
I got the golf bug back last week when we were down at Hilton Head, and I hadn't played since I played with you, Jim, and I don't know what event that was, but we were playing, and I hadn't played for 3 years before that. So I'm looking to get back into the game as well.
Yeah, I think it's fun. I think it's one of those games that it requires a little bit of time, but the driving range time is really important. And if you have a place that you can kind of go to, the only way I got decent before was living kind of on a golf course and being able to just literally go to the driving range for a half hour, an hour here, an hour there, and not having to play 18 holes for 4 hours is tough when you have kids. So that helps, and then being able to get out there once in a while and play on the course.
Yeah. Well, all three of us have chateaus on the 17th fairway at Old Warsaw.
Yeah, so just lined up one right after the next.
Right.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Bing.
I was looking at a place that's on number 10 of Old Warsaw, so we'll all be neighbors by each other.
Yeah, we'll be neighbors.
Yeah, that'd be very nice.
Look, there's not too many carports over there if you're still talking about those.
Yeah, we never change. We're still doing it.
Yeah, we're still doing the same material. It's been 12 years of it. Jim, good to hear from you. Enjoy Idaho, man.
All right, guys. Have a good day. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Peace. Thank you.
Jim Edmonds with us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. It's good to hear he's enjoying it. I'm telling you. And I'll say, God, I'm getting so many people saying how much they're enjoying on the broadcast, and it's like it makes them uncomfortable.
Yeah,
you know?
He's pretty humble.
Yes, he really
and I
actually,
do get a kick out of him.
But I do. I mean, I don't, and obviously I'm not, you know, whatever. I didn't do a show with and don't know Rick Horton and Al Hrabowski. I mean, know him, but I don't know him. Like, I got a chance to know Jim, and so there'd be no reason for people to be texting me about Al Hrabowski or Tim McCarver or Rick Horton. So it's nothing against any of them so much as I'm just the reaction of the audience to him on the broadcast has been, you know, really, really positive. And I'm surprised to hear him say he wants to do more because I just thought he'd want to hang out in, you know, Santa Monica or something and, you know, maybe do like 12 games a year.
But I
like
get a kick out of him going, I have to go to work today.
That's how it was when he played. Because yes. I would text, I go, what are you up to? You want to get together on this? And then he's like, oh, I got to get down to work. And I'm going, oh, okay, fine.
I think a lot of his ability on TV is just natural. Because when you interviewed him as a player, he'd always get very thoughtful, yes. Very articulate, and never gave you the, I don't know, yes, maybe. And so just being able to talk it comes very easily for him and naturally. So to do it in a game and like he's, that, he's just talking like he gave interviews for 20 years.
Right. He's super knowledgeable about the game. What I found when I would interview him for television is that he really didn't want to talk about baseball, though. And I think part of it is, and now I see it on the other side of it, and to an extent it comes with operating a business that you just have to understand. You have to fall on the sword and not talk about things that are, you know, private just out of respect to the people you work with. And I think that was part of it, that he knows stuff, of course, from the game and knows what's really, really going on, but you can't say anything. I mean, you can, but then you're the a-hole who takes stuff out of the room, and then nobody will trust you, and then you're tough to employ. And so when we did the show for those, for I guess it was like a year we did the show, so many times he would say, you know, I don't know because I'm not in the locker room. And I'm like, well, that doesn't stop us from acting like we know, and we've been... But that's what he feels like is the truth. And I've always said that about reading La Russa's book, Three Nights in August. And it's not because it's La Russa or the Cardinals so much as that was a team that I was covering on a daily basis down there, you know, I don't know how many, 50 home games that year, 2003. And I didn't know 75% of the things that La Russa wrote about in that book, which shows how much is kept away from the public. And so therefore, even though I realize the audience, many in the audience... you know, I don't know what the right term would it be, sympathetic or realize how much that stuff's going on, how injuries are going on, but they don't talk about them, for example. The cat, I'm sure you know, God only knows how much more than Doug and I know just from being around the team. But I also know that you can't say it, and I don't even bother asking about it off the air. It's just, it's an understanding that there is an omerta on the stuff. And so I think Jim had plenty to say when he was playing, but he can't because he was still part of it. And now he's not like outing secrets on television, but he can speak more freely. That knowledge was always there. That ability to articulate it was always there. He just is in a different spot now, not being inside the room.
His understanding of the game, too. I mean, when you hear that a center fielder is watching what pitch is thrown, can identify a pitch right. from that far away, and then base his jump on a ball or his route on a ball based on what pitch was just thrown. Remarkable, because you don't think that kind of stuff really goes on.
Right. I'm sure he's one of those guys who, you know, he doesn't have to work anywhere, but he's at an age where you don't really want to just shut it down and do nothing. And I noticed that with a lot of the guys that came back from 2006, that they're at that age where they've got young kids and they still want to be active, don't have to work another day in their life if they don't want to, and they probably, a lot of them, are kind of searching for what it is going to keep them interested for the next 20 or 30 years yeah. of their life. And I'm sure it's great when you can get involved in baseball or broadcasting like Edmonds is. They don't want to get out of the game forever. I'm sure just about everybody on that 2006 team would like to be involved in baseball somehow, probably.
The grind of it, though, and the road trips and being away from family, if you have millions of dollars in the bank, that's a tough call to make.
Right. Well, this would be the perfect situation where you do a few games here and then go on vacation to Idaho for a couple weeks and maybe a few more games here, take a trip out to California. Yeah, it's perfect.
We should go on vacation to Idaho together.
I'm pressed for time.
All three of us.
Be fun. We could play in the member guest.
We get one
Who's
of those.
Who's the member that's going to invite us?
Get one of those Sea-Doos, three of them, and just cruise around on a lake, huh?
Just like, while the member guest is going on, we'll be like, you know, in the water that's right in front of the tee.
Topless as the day is long.
Clip it off. Snag it now. Snag it now before we lose it. Doug, the second annual Craft on Tap is happening Saturday, August 20th in downtown Clayton. Come support over 25 local craft breweries and get unlimited tasting. Tickets are $35 if bought in advance and $40 at the door. And the price includes a commemorative glass. A VIP ticket option is also available for $45 and includes earlier access and exclusive beer offerings. Enjoy live music from the band Trophy Mules. Order tickets online at ClaytonCraftOnTap.com. Craft on Tap. It's August 20th in downtown Clayton. Those Lou Fest tickets are now available on InsideSTL.com. The promo code is FREEDOTEM. Get them while they're red hot, and you can have an experience like no other at Lou Fest coming up on September 10th and 11th. And Doug will be there, so it's going to be unbelievable. It's going to be unbelievable.
Oh, that's right. I'm going to be there.
Yeah, dedicated bathrooms, a lounge area with outdoor TV streaming the show and sporting events, private cash bar, yard games, and we'll be there as well hanging out. You can get them right now on InsideSTL.com, password FREEDOTEM. Frank Cusimano was here. I saw him in the back at the 9 o'clock break. What's the word I'm looking for? Preparing? Preparing?
What?
Preparing for the show?
Prepping. What are you going to do to prepare for a show?
I don't know. Look up topics to discuss, I guess. I can't imagine what else would be involved.
We look in the mirror.
You go to the internet and you just type what's going on and you see if you can come up with a
And we did. And you know what we came up with? The resurgence of the name Dean. And we hit it.
Right. Also, Stingray's hot topic trending in a number of states.
I have not seen a young child named Dean maybe ever.
The guy who just... And not just in the 7 o'clock hour, said this is fascinating. His name was Dean. I think it was Dean Johnson.
Well, but he's not a child.
You don't know that.
Dean Spanos is what, 22 years old?
That's correct. So
that's late 70s.
Guys are Jeff New York and Endless Summer Jeff related. Endless Summer Jeff being the vice president of Florida. Thanks. That's from the Wildwood Whisker Biscuit.
I don't believe so. No, there's more than one Jeff in the world.
Who's that? I thought we were calling him Dish Boy? Weren't we going to call him Dish Boy instead of New York Jeff?
Oh, because he sells the dish, the TV.
Guys, it seemed Abby Donovan only needed a lesbian kiss to give her the courage to fight her disease. Thanks. That comes from Bunchy Donovan's priest.
That gave her the courage to fight.
It did actually. I mean, what Bunchy Donovan's priest writes in is actually true.
I thought they killed Bunchy Donovan's priest. On the show, they killed
him. Yeah, but he's still alive in real life in Texas.
Bullet right in the head.
Why'd they kill him, Doug?
Because he had abused the Donovan boys. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And he had abused Bungie, but now Ray had a dark secret as well.
And I guess he had a fancy for Terry as well.
Yeah, and Ray was the one who shot him, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And that's one of the episodes I did see.
Spoiler alert.
How many people did Ray Donovan kill in his...
Six.
Many as he wants to.
And he never faces
the laws. Don't apply. He's like a Clinton. The laws don't apply.
Hey, did you see the Trump Pence logo that they apparently discarded because it was too suggestive? Did you see that?
Yes.
Suggestive of what?
Did you think it was?
I didn't see it. I mean,
I didn't see it
was just kind of thrown together. You know, not unlike an announcement in front of a few friends on a Saturday morning for a vice president. But hey. You know what? The whole campaign has been an outlier. So, you know,
I just
the theme alive.
When I saw it unveiled, maybe it was from, but I didn't think it was like suggestive in any way. You really had to really consider it to even see it.
Suggestive,
but they did
of
ditch
what?
It. They did ditch it.
What was it? Too
Tim,
suggestive?
It was suggestive of what?
Impaling.
Well, it was some sort of swordsman.
See if we can find the logo. Well, either way, Scott Baio's speaking this week.
Scott Baio's announced. Like, honestly, no offense, but you're going to announce that Scott Baio is going to be one of the featured celebrity speakers at the Republican National
That's
Convention?
That's like something like I would say, who's speaking? And then you would say, oh, Scott Baio is, right after you got done saying Talia Shire.
Oh, he's a very outspoken conservative. Just because he was on a cheesy TV show doesn't mean he can't have reasonable political views.
I'm not saying
But I got Clint Eastwood. Clint Eastwood. Clint Eastwood.
Right. You don't make this announcement like people are going to be like, "Nice work. This is going to be great."
He's one of the headliners.
He's one of the featured people that I saw that they tried to make hay out of.
You never saw Joni Loves Chachi?
I did.
Hello.
Apparently, he had just edged out Tim Kazurinsky. But it's a nice get. And for a party, too, that's trying to reach out to some younger voters, too. I'm sorry, Doug. The Republicans can't get out of their own way sometimes.
Well, Ronald Reagan's movies, a lot of those were pretty bad, too. I mean, he spent a lot of his time with a monkey.
So you're saying that Scott Baio is the new Ronald Reagan?
I wouldn't necessarily judge a person based on a TV show that wasn't very good.
I think you're missing the point. My point is that this was kind of a big deal for the Republicans, the way they announced it, and that this was a good get. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. Okay. You think it'd be a bigger name celebrity? Look, nothing against Scott Baio. He's had a better career than I'll ever have. I'm sure he's a nice guy. I'm just saying you would like to, if you're, you know, if you're rooting for the Republicans, you would like to see bigger names.
You know what's a fascinating little story, and I realize it's not going to get attention this week, and I truly hope, even though I'm sure it's going to be, you know, kind of like a timber fake call, like unintentional comedy this week, I hope it is safe, and I truly worry about that. But something from a legitimate storyline department is Gary Johnson's up to 11%. And that is relevant because if he got to 15%, he would be on the stage for the debates.
Mm-hmm.
And that would expose, at the very least, many in the country who watch these debates to an alternative. Not to say he would win, but at least to get people, many of whom, both Republicans and Democrats, aren't necessarily excited about the option in November. That would be intriguing. So he is at 11% right now, needs to pull about 15%. Some recent polls show him approaching 15%.
And with the polls tightening up, those are votes that aren't going to go to either Hillary or Trump. That could change the face of the race.
I was surprised to see in a lot of the polls that he's actually getting a lot of the Hillary vote. It's not just people dissatisfied with Trump.
Well, I've voted Democrat in the presidential elections every year since 2004, and Gary Johnson has my vote right now. And during the primaries, had I been registered properly, I was voting for John Kasich.
It seems like so much of the mainstream media is so focused on the left or the right that you never even see Johnson in the media. Either you've got the CNNs and the NBCs and the MSNBCs constantly on the Hillary case, or you've got the Fox News constantly on the Trump case. There doesn't seem to be anywhere for Johnson to go. I don't ever see him.
Well, maybe you will if he.
Yeah,
if
I mean, that would be huge. I think if a lot of people, and I understand it, I mean, it's not, you know, people have responsibilities, whether it be personally, professionally, whatever the case might be, and to lock in on presidential elections, presidential politics. I mean, how many people in the country right now, if you do a 1,000-person poll, if you said, okay, name another presidential candidate outside of Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, would be able to say Johnson, Stein, whatever the case might be. I doubt they would, and I understand. But if he could get up there, at least I think it would open people's eyes that it doesn't necessarily just have to be Democrat or Republican. And I think a lot of people right now actually would be more libertarian if they were to take a poll, not knowing who they were voting for, but just what policies you adhere to. You find a lot of those online, and they, oh, then you are in line with Gary Johnson. Mm-hmm. That's not everybody, and I'm not condemning Democrat. I'm not condemning Republican at all. I'm just presenting that there is another option, and it would be, I think, beneficial, whether you're voting for him or not, to have another person up on stage. And, I mean, here's a guy who was a governor in New Mexico. His running mate is a governor in Massachusetts. So it's not like this is just like a guy who's saying a bunch of crap that fires people up. These are two acclaimed people with different views from Democrats and Republicans, and it would be ideal if they could get on the stage.
Did you see Elizabeth Warren was polled as keynote speaker for the Democratic convention, fueling some speculation that she was pulled because she's going to be Hillary's running mate?
Oh, yeah. That'd be great. Wouldn't that be fantastic?
I think millions
of Americans would quickly fall in love with Johnson if they were exposed to him. Just to think, oh, good, I don't have to vote for either one of the buffoons that are currently running now. I think they would fall in love in a hurry with someone who stood up there and actually made some common sense. With the way the nation is going crazy right now, if you had a new face up there right now who spoke some common sense, I think lots of people could get on board
still
in a hurry.
Because of the machine on the Democratic side and the Republican side, it's hard for someone who's not one of the main party people to get a fair shake. Deck is stacked against them.
Yeah, I don't doubt that it's hard. But if ever it's going to happen, if ever would happen, I think now would be the time.
Sailor Jerry Spiced Rum made the old school a 92 proof, bold and smooth as hell, the official rum of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. We have our emails coming up. Your thoughts are welcome. 314-880-0808. 314-880-0808. Tim is a past Obama voter. Why are you leaning toward Johnson in this election? Are Obama and Hillary's politics that different? See, this is something I've talked about when I discuss politics on the show, and why it's I mean, it's not amusing. I guess I suppose it's annoying, but I also recognize what we do for a living leads to this type of stuff, is that people think it's one way with me, and then it's not necessarily that way. I think a lot of people think I am extremely left, when in reality, I would say I'm actually probably more libertarian than I am Democrat. It's just I have such a huge problem with wielding religion, specifically Christianity, but it would be any religion, it wouldn't matter what one, as some way to try and garner votes, which is the same, by the way, thought process of former United States Senator and perhaps the most respected public servant we've had from the state of Missouri, at the very least top five, Jack Danforth wrote in his book, and how the Republican Party got into bed with the religious right and what it's led to with the Republican Party, and how guys have to stand up there, or women have to stand up there and say things that probably deep down they don't really believe, but they have to say it in order to try and get that vote, because if you don't, it's like when, I don't know if you happen to see Trump and Pence interviewed last night on 60 Minutes.
I saw the clips.
And who was the one conducting the interview?
Stahl.
Leslie Stahl, that's right.
Yeah.
And she's brought up that, you know, Pence is evangelical, and, you know, it's part of the deal, just like they did with Palin in 2008, same deal. If the candidate isn't viewed religious enough, so you got to do that deal. And then Trump goes, well, I'm religious. And she goes, you are? And he goes, well, I won the evangelical vote. And it wasn't necessarily a way of saying he's religious. But, I mean, whatever. You know, you recognize it for what it is, unintentional comedy. It's good stuff. But the point is I prefer with my candidates that isn't used as a way to win votes, because I don't think it necessarily brings out the best in a discussion, because you have one party or one potential candidate saying they're the party of God, which is what Danforth wrote in his book, Faith and Politics, then what that means that the other party is therefore not the party of God, and who is to say what policy is godly and what policy is not. But it's almost become dogmatic that one claims to be the party of God. So either way, that's where I am, just for the record. And so when it comes to politicians, for example, as I've said a number of times, in 2008, up until the Palin selection, I thought we had two great choices. Still think that, because I thought both people were very good human beings. And when it gets down to it, they would act in what I believe is the best interests of the country and not necessarily themselves. And it's a totally intuitive thing with no data behind it, so it's super unanalytical, which is completely the opposite way of how I conduct so much of my personal life and professional life. So it's intuition. But, you know, like Paul Ryan, I think my read is I think he's a good man. Could be wrong on it. I don't know. I don't have any data. Would my politics line up with a lot of his politics? I don't believe so, but I think he's a good man. And so that's where I'm coming from.
How many good men have the best intentions going in to politics?
To politics in general.
Get,
to politics
and then
in general.
Get
absolutely.
Corrupted
absolutely.
By it. Well, you want to do
good
the
men,
right thing.
Good
but
women,
you can't,
whatever the case might be.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But both sides take certain positions just based on votes and what their party platform is. I'm sure not all Democrats really think the best thing for the country is to bring in another 500,000 Syrian immigrants. I'm sure there's a lot of Democrats who don't think that having 12 million illegal aliens from Mexico is a good thing, but they have to say it. That's the party platform.
Yeah, the party platform of the Republican Party this week is that pornography is a public health crisis, which is being condemned by scientists, you know, the people with knowledge. to call something a public health crisis. But, I mean, you know what it's doing. It's to rally, you know, the people.
Pence is a guy, I think it's interesting because he is an evangelical and he's got a reputation for conservative, but he's not conservative on all the issues where he's not in lockstep with Trump. So it'll be interesting to see how those two make out. And he's also a guy, from what I read, has a pretty good reputation working with Democrats on legislation.
I'm surprised he didn't try to pick somebody that would maybe diversify the ticket a little bit. Maybe try to pick up a popular politician from Florida or Pennsylvania, Ohio, a swing state. Maybe a Hispanic candidate. A woman candidate. I don't know.
In a rare spot where I'm defending Donald Trump, you don't know that he didn't. You know, and by that I mean they might have gone, I'm not touching this thing. I mean, look who's not showing up in Cleveland this week. Scott Baio is, yeah. But Marco Rubio is not. I believe he's taping a message, like he's accepting an MTV Video Music Award.
And I guess these are people who are thinking.
I'm anxious to see if Cruz even offers the slightest of endorsement.
You know, one thing for the Republican
he will be speaking on
and
Wednesday.
The Democratic side, too. I mean, you're talking about the Supreme Court. So you would think if you're a Democrat that like Bernie but doesn't care for Hillary, or you don't like Trump, you're on the Republican side. If you believe in the cause,
that's
of
a
the
very
left
valid
right,
point.
It's
right.
About the Supreme Court, and I would think on both sides, that's enough to make people put aside whatever disagreements they have with the candidates.
Because there's a number of justices that are very old,
yep.
And may not make it through another 4 years.
That's really
the notorious RBG.
Yeah, whoever is elected might be appointing three or four of the next Supreme Court justices.
You're right. That's a very valid point. I mean, of the one vacant seat.
Whatever you think about, if you're, like I said, a Democrat, but that's what's at stake, is the Supreme Court, which is ultra-powerful.
Doug Michaels has four great locations to visit. You didn't know that.
No.
You go, oh, yeah,
I think they have three.
Well, now yeah. It's four. It's been four. And a huge new showroom at their St. Peter's location. They're in St. Charles County and West County, North County, and Darden Prairie. It's michaelsflooringoutlet.com. They're great for everyone. Perfect for the do-it-yourselfers. Also the contractors. When you think of Michaels, you should think local. Michaels has been local in St. Louis for over 20 years. They're online at michaelsflooringoutlet.com. That's michaelsflooringoutlet.com. Ortiz Farms Captain's Log delivered. The sea monster is going to sea monster. If he says a guest is going to be on, a guest is going to be on. Derek Gould, 8:30, Jim Edmonds in the 9 o'clock hour. It was good stuff with both of them on the Cardinals, and Edmonds on his broadcasting and his top secret vacation, which has now been revealed to be Idaho. So just drive around Idaho, and you might be able to see.
Yeah, you want to do some stalking, catch the next flight to Boise.
That's the one, and you'll see Jim Edmonds, Tease Farms, the official shrub of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Check them out. A great sponsor, and the sponsor of the Captain's Log here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Frank Cusimano comes your way in a matter of moments. It is the Lion's Choice. Famous roast beef hand up to Frank Cusimano's Hollywood Casino Press Box at Lion's Choice. Oh, the seasoned roast beef. Oh, the soppins. Oh, the fixins. Lion's Choice. Time for the email today. You like it?
Well, it's the same music we've had a long, long time.
Yeah, we're giving away a large two-tapping pizza, Truman's and Soulard. Prize for the email today. I may be able to help you guys with the in-law confusion. My father-in-law and I decided those monikers were pointless, so we just dropped it. Now I just call him Daddy, or sometimes me, Poppy, on margarita night. Doing that helps avoid weird looks when we open mouth kiss at a bar or in church. But still, if I had a nickel for every time I had to yell, it's fine, he's my dad. Like, you don't slobber on your son's chin when we play Santa Claus in the park. Or while he sweatily ravages me in the produce section at the Schnucks on Manchester. Hint, hint, Doug. Tee-hee. Daddy.
You're not suspending that person
that's
for
from
that?
The president of the unofficial Lionel Richie fan club. Plow Padre put that at the top of the list.
That's as vile as you could get. And Doug, not suspending.
I wasn't even paying attention to it, actually.
Unless
reading,
it brings you into it, you don't suspend.
Oh, I actually didn't pay attention to it.
It was vile.
President of the unofficial Lionel Richie fan club. It might have been vile. I wasn't paying attention.
Well, you're invited to go to the Schnucks on Manchester. There are a few Schnucks on Manchester, though, so we need you to tell us which one.
Yeah, there's like 17.
Yeah, I go to Deerblings.
There's one right there at Woodlawn in Manchester, I know.
There is.
The Deerbergs by my house is a palace.
Yeah, I've been in there also.
Nice.
True Timmy Tales, Golf With Me Daddy Edition. Tim arose from his slumber and let his feet dangle off the side of the bed. Today's the day, yup, he whispered to himself. He was about to play golf with his brother, dad, and a guy who we definitely cannot consider his brother-in-law. Tim arrived at the championship course riding on a human-powered chariot like a transitioning Cleopatra. Bring me my sticks, boy, said Tim to the caddy. Oh, and take off your top too, boy. The caddy reluctantly obliged. Tim approached the ball at the first tee. He struck a mighty pose. Then his dad ran out with a golf ball cannon device and shot Tim's ball out 350 yards with a subtle draw. Good shot, little guy, yelled his father. Tim then noticed a large alligator roaming the course. I want an alligator, and I want an alligator now, Daddy. If anyone has seen Tim's sweet father, please let the authorities know, as he is still missing. That comes from Cucky Irwin. I wonder if he's related to Bindi.
Cucky Irwin.
He had a lot of enthusiasm for that read, too.
Morning, boys. All this Lou Fest talk reminds me of a strange thing that happened to me whilst at Pride Fest this year. Me and the boys were dancing on a parade float when all of a sudden a pink LeBaron limousine cut into the parade. An MC with a megaphone hopped out and shouted, Ladies and gentlemen, twinks and bears, I give you Ms. Doug Vaughn. Doug emerged from the moonroof of said limo in nothing but a rainbow tube sick. Sick? Tube sick?
What's
a rainbow
tube sick?
I know, that's what it said. It's tube sick. And saying, Guys, you know you better watch out. Some local news sports anchors are only about that thing. That thing. That thing. Well, we all have stories. Some Jamie Moyer's Fancy Four. I think it's a play on Ms. Lauryn Hill. That's what I think it is.
Jamie Moyer's Fancy Foyer.
Let's see. I think Doug makes a good point. It could get awkward if you're a straight actor playing a gay role. Ask the cat if he would kiss a boy if FSN said he had to. Remember, it's not real. It's just for work. Another point, I play the role of a boy dungeon guard, so Doug rewards me with sexual favors. It's pretty neat. Stay cute. That's from Dan Schwartz.
No. Dan Schwartz forgot to give himself a crazy name, and instead his real name appeared on the email.
Well, it could, his fake name could be Dan Schwartz.
I don't think so.
Watching a video of a little piglet being fed from a bottle?
It was
that
a
what
dog.
Distracted?
It was a dog. Yeah.
That's the secret to getting vile emails.
Oh, yeah. Cute little dog. Yeah.
Yeah, and you were watching that and you got distracted?
That's right.
Okay, so if you want to send a vile email.
That's as precious as the day you were born.
It is.
Then send Doug a video that he'll be preoccupied.
Yeah. It wasn't a piglet, though. It's a little dog.
Well, I couldn't tell from this angle.
Guys, Plops here. Tim, while you were out tickling gators, this is what I think went that... What I think... Doug, I have to read the words because...
Okay, they don't spell well.
This is what I think went that you should probably be aware of.
Really not. Okay, that's enough. If you can't get through the first sentence, that's enough. Who was it, Tim? All suspending for grammar.
Misty Plops.
Misty Plops, you've been suspended for grammar. You've been suspended a period of 2 days' time. Your name is just now going into the Llewellyn's Pub Handsome Leatherbound Suspension Logule.
Hey, boys. I friended 3 Larry Nichols on the Facebook. Does this mean I'm friends with Larry Nichol? I hate Stan Kroenke so much that I want him to die. I don't want him... I don't want home... God... Was it?
Another guy who can't write it?
I don't want home.
Okay, that's enough. Who was it, Tim?
Stephen Wildwood.
Stephen Wildwood, you've been suspended for grammar. You've been suspended a period of 2 days' time. Your name as well has gone into the Llewellyn's Pub suspension logule. Proofread something. After you type something out, reread it.
Doug, this is specifically meant for your ears. So there I was, waterproof diaper and all, just staring down Ray King's pool. As I took off, everyone was screaming for me to stop. But I didn't realize why until I was in midair holding my legs to my chest. As I hit the water, everyone evacuated the pool, just like I had evacuated my bowel.
Mm-hmm.
I never wanted to come up for air, but then Ray wrapped his giant arms around me and carried me inside. He laid me on the dining room table and changed me with the most delicate care.
Okay, that's enough. Who was it, Tim?
Betty Dangles.
Betty Dangles, you've been suspended. You've been suspended a period of 2 days' time. Your name went into the Llewellyn's Pub suspension logule. 6 locations, 1 near you.
Some of these are vile.
Seems like about all of them are. Central, West End, Soulard, St. Charles, Webster, Wildwood, Winghaven. Those are your Llewellyn's locations.
That's what we have for the email of the day.
That's it.
It's 10 o'clock.
I'm going to go with Cucky Irwin. Cucky Irwin.
I have no choice but to go with Cucky Irwin as well.
Cucky Irwin. I think Cucky the Dwarf's in commanding lead of the Email of the Day competition this month. Is that correct? The Sea Monster?
That is now 5 wins this month, and nobody else even has 2.
Wow. Juggernaut, Tim.
Wow. Unreal.
Yeah,
amazing.
He's a prolific wordsmith.
Congratulations to Cucky. You have won. 2 topping large pizza at Truman's in Soulard. Hey, Audio Express has been delivering the best name brands in car audio and security at the lowest install price for over 41 years. It's because at Audio Express, offering and delivering the very best customer service and professional installation has been their number one goal from day one. Get Viper's top-selling alarm with remote start for just $249. Add a smartphone control so you can lock, unlock, or start your car from anywhere in the USA for just $149 more. Audio Express, here yesterday, today, and for many years to come to serve you and all your car audio security, rear seat video, and driver safety needs. Check out AudioExpress.com today, Audio Express. Time for us to shut it down. Lion's Choice, famous roast beef handoff to Frank Cusimano in the Hollywood Casino Press Box. For Peyton, for the Plow Padre, for our intern Madison, for my brother Kevin, for the Seamaster, for Jimmy the Cat Hayes, and for Douglas Elvin Vaughn, I'm Tim McKernan. This has been the Ryan Kelly Morning After on CBS Sports 105.7 HD2 FM 920 AM and InsideSTL.com live at Gateway Butte Chiefs Studios. 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 Live.